So the red scripture last week was Ecclesiastes 1 verses 2 to 3 was a main scripture, and it starts off saying, "Viper of vipers." This is the Amplified. My wife loves the Amplified. It's too many English words for me. But in any case, we're going to read the Amplified. "Viper of vipers and futility of futilities," says the preacher. "Viper of vipers and futilities of futilities. All is vanity," and I want to read that, "emptiness, falsity, and vain glory." This guy's got an incredibly positive outlook on life. No, I mean, if you meet him in a restaurant, I mean, he's the guy you want to spend time with. No, he's not. He's the guy that you're going, whoa, that guy's got issues. Amen? All right, in verse 3. "What profit does man have left from all his toil at which he toils under the sun? Is life worth living?" And maybe this question has come across your heart sometime. What is this life about? Why am I living? Why am I even here? You know, what is God doing? And if you need some more answers to that, then go listen to Laurette's sermon of last week, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. And I'm not going to repeat everything that she said. Maybe just to say a few things. That the Bible translates hevel, which is this word that viper is referring to, as vanity. If you ever stood next to a braai and you want to grab the smoke, or maybe a candle that's smoking, and you can't grab smoke. It is there, you can see it, it's very real. But you can't get in. This is what the preacher is saying, that life is like this. It's like this thing we are trying to grab and get a hold of. You know, we try different things, we go different places, we have different experiences, and we're trying to put meaning to life, but it's just like grabbing this thing, and you know, you have it and then it's gone. You grab it and then it's gone. It is fleeting. It is temporary. As quick as smoke comes, as quickly does it disappear. It is an enigma. It appears solid, but you can't grab hold of it. And if you didn't know this, but life is quite unpredictable. You might be in a great place today, and then Monday comes. And you thought Monday is going to be awesome, and then Monday is not awesome. And this is life. But you can also be having a worst day of your life, and then tomorrow comes. And everything looks different. Have you experienced this? Is this just me going through life? Okay? But the point is, what Laurette was making, that whoever tries to give meaning to life apart from God will come up empty. Life was God's idea. And without God, there's no meaning to life. It becomes like smoke. And that's why Jesus came. To give us life and to give it to us abundantly. To give us purpose. To give us substance to this thing that we call life. And here's the reality. All of us sitting here, from the youngest to the oldest here, we only get one attempt at this. I'm sorry if you didn't know that. If you thought you're coming back, you only get one shot at life. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? So Jesus came to give meaning to life, to show us what it should look like. And the opposite word to the word hevel, which is vanity or viper, is the word kavod, which is glory. And glory means weighty, heavy, having substance that lasts. Now, how do you preach on that? We'll see. You can pray in the meantime. But the thing is, when we think about glory, when we read that word glory, what do you actually think about? I think for most of us sitting here today, when we think of the glory of God, Maybe scripturally we think, you know, where the, when God came into the temple and the guys couldn't stand, or the smoke descended on the tabernacle when the guys were in there, the priest and so on were there. That's kind of our idea of the glory of God. Or maybe in today's day we think of exactly everything that happened this weekend, where we come into a service or a gathering, and we are in the presence of the Lord, and the presence of God actually becomes tangible to us. We maybe see guys fall around, we see people crying or something. And I think our idea of when we hear the word glory is very limited. And I, to be quite honest, as I worked through it this week, I realized my idea even has become very church-centered. This is the glory of God in the church. This is how I experience it. This is the way I think about it. But I would say to you this morning that the glory of God is way more than that. It's way more. I realize my understanding even of it, I need to study this further and grow in it more to even understand it better. The fact is, this theme of glory runs through the entire Bible. In actual fact, it runs through the entire creation, the glory of God. It is a consistent message. Everything, as I've studied this, I realize that everything is about the glory of God. There is nothing that is not part of this. Christopher Morgan says the following: God's glory is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of His many perfections. Let me read that again. God's glory is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of His many perfections. In other words, a display of God Himself. Of everything that and who God is. His glory makes that known to us. Now, if we look at this theme that goes through Scripture, if we look at it, and I must just tell you, one of the sources that I used is the guy that has, I can't remember his name now, but he's been studying this for years, and in his article, just the amount of Scripture he lists was overwhelming, which already, even in that moment, to me was like, whoa, I didn't realize this. And therefore I say, take the time to go and sit and study the glory of God. So this message that's running through, I think one of the first places we see it is in creation. Now, you can pray for us, because next week, Saturday morning, Lorette, myself, and Stephen and Gina, 6 o'clock in the morning, we're leaving to go to the Galagadi. Yes, I know you're all jealous. Sorry, we're very sorry about that. And we're going to see God's glory in creation. We're going to see it in the lion that's walking there and all sorts of stuff. And we're so looking forward. Look, I rejuvenate. I get so in love with Jesus when I'm just in nature. It's one of those places that I run away. If I just want to get, okay, wish I could do it more. Okay? But it's displayed through creation. And Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2 says this the following: the heavens declare what? The glory of God. Now you put that for me in words. Okay? And the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day by day they pour out speech, so they're never silent. You know, many of us complain about your wife that's not talking, you know, or rather talking too much. I want to tell you, the heavens talks more. Okay? The heavens are never silent, declaring the glory of God. If you want to argue with me, maybe just tonight, if it's a cloudless evening, just walk out. Never mind tonight. Maybe just walk out. Go look at the heavens. You know, I realized a couple of years ago, we all drive to, well, I guess most of us drive to, you're driving nowhere. They are driving you. So you've got lots of time to do what I'm going to say to you now. But I was driving, and you know, we drive and you sit in traffic, you know, and this person who's in front of you is driving 40 k's an hour while the rest of the traffic is driving 60. You know, you love him so much. You just want to, you know, get into his car. You know, just go, you know, just rub his bald head and maybe just help him a bit. And so I'm sitting in traffic, and man, I have one of those moments. I can't even remember what it's about. I'm so frustrated. I'm just thinking, you know, Lord, rapture from here to work, please. And just get this over with. And God just said to me very, very quietly, just look up. And I was driving down Fair Trees, and I kind of looked up towards Stellenbosch side. And I suddenly just saw the mountains. I saw the sunrise and everything just to my left. And I just went. And from that day, I try and focus on the road. Honestly, I do. Fortunately, my Bucky's got a big bull bar, so if I do make a mistake, sorry for whoever. But I do try as I drive just to stop looking at this and just look up. And I tell you, I've had moments with God in traffic. Better moments than the guy in front of me. Just because I looked up. And I just saw the blue sky. I saw a bird flying. And God just displays his glory and just goes like, whoa, Gwibbers, I'm with you. So I will know. Julle moet nou lekker ry maandag. Okay, don't look so up that you're not looking at the traffic, okay? And say, my pastor said I must look up when the speed cop stops you, okay? But creation declares the glory of God. When you look at creation, you have to go, there's someone greater. Who made this? It is one, the fact that stuff works. You know, nothing we make works for a long time. In actual fact, it feels like they're making stuff to break after a year these days. Nothing lasts, but if you look at creation, you see the glory of God just being displayed. The second thing is through humans created in the image of God. And Psalm 8 sort of latches on to what Psalm 90 is saying, is, but in verse 3 and 5 it says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him little lower than the angels. Maybe just, you know, just nudge someone there. Say, hey, listen, you are made little lower than the angels, than the heavenly beings. And then listen to this. This is so beautiful. Because if you thought you have no worth, I want to say to you, this should bless you. He said, and he crowned you. He crowned man with glory and honor. You are God's most prized possession. You are the one thing in this creation that God is seriously passionate about. He crowned you with glory and honor. How can you say then that he's made a mistake? You know, I looked at that video and I'm thinking, that guy with the hoodie thing on, I'm not sure I like his face. That was me, by the way. I'm speaking about myself here. And I had to go, but Jesus made that dude to look like that. I like that guy. It's the one thing I cannot get away from is when you look in the mirror, I see me. And I'm rejoicing. Maybe you're not so much, but that's your problem. When you wake up with you. All right? But he crowned me with glory. Crowned me with honor. I have value. I am precious. You know, and as men, we don't often think this way. That I'm valued or I'm precious. And I want to maybe encourage even just the men to go stand before God and realize who you are. And then if we look further in scripture, like I say, there's so much, many scriptures, and I've kind of just highlighted a small list here that shows us how the glory of God is reflected in the Bible. And again, you're going to go and sit with these scriptures, you can go meditate on them and think about it and just go look how God actually displays who he is in scripture. And it's going to take you a long time. Any case, but the first couple of things is, or like they say, this list, and trust me, even in that person's article, there was way more. I kind of just picked here, okay? But we see the glory of God with fire or a bright light, and there's a lot of scriptures, so you can take a photo and go read them. We see God's glory displayed as a cloud. We see God's glory being that it fills the entire earth and it fills the temple. It's above in the heavens. It's displayed in the birth of Jesus Christ. It is displayed in the miracles that Jesus did. It is present at his transfiguration, and we even see it in his suffering and crucifixion. We see the glory of God in everything. And this is what we miss sometimes. This is what I think I missed. Maybe not missed, but I wasn't aware of. It's just how God displays his glory in Scripture. So why is the glory of God important for us to think about? Why should we go? Why should you take your time to go and sit with us now? So glory is something of a summary term that the Bible uses to describe God's character and nature. To refer to his presence made visible and manifest to us. Do you want me to say that again? The word glory is like a summary that shows us God's character and nature and his presence being made visible and his presence being made manifest to us. So if you read the Bible, when you see the word glory, we actually see who God is. He's on display. He is there. Okay? So we might even say that God's glory is the shining forth or the public display of his character and nature. Glory describes all the things God is full of. His wisdom, his love, his creativity, his beauty, his strength, his compassion. All the things that make him weighty and wonderful. All the things that are made manifest to us, for us to see and experience and respond to. So like this weekend that we just had, we experienced God. We saw his beauty. We saw his power. We saw the presence of the glory of God that came into the room, and different people responded differently. Different people were impacted, and God revealed himself even in that small room differently to most of us. But we each had a unique experience and encounter with Jesus. This is why you can go and sit, you know, whether you're sitting on a park bench or you're sitting in your car or you're sitting wherever you are, you can just experience God's presence and he can reveal himself to you. One of the very practical reasons why we should think about the glory of God is because the glory of God is our greatest source of joy. Because when I come into God's presence and he reveals himself, you know how many people, I mean, I had a lekker giggle myself on Saturday just because I am in God's presence. I encountered God. There was a joy that came up within me. And as we think about this, we see, know, and delight. As I see and know and delight in God, as I'm contemplating him, I am freed from my preoccupations with lesser things. You see, because when I stand in God's presence and I am in awe of him, then the things that are futile, the vapor, the evil, suddenly fails to stand in comparison with God. These things that so worry me, stresses me out, freaks me out, causes anxiety and fear and all these things, the news and the elections and, you know, what's going to happen in the world, in America and all sorts of stuff, fail to compare who God is when I'm just in that moment. As I see Him and I know Him and I delight in Him and I'm contemplating who He is, then everything just disappears. You know what? Then the sovereignty of God is established in my life. And the rule of the devil is put down there. As I stand in God's presence, all my anxieties begin to lose their grip on me. My heart comes alive. And all things begin to find their proper place in Jesus. As I contemplate, as I am with Him. So if this stuff in your life that is causing you anxiety or fear or these things, you know your best response is simply just to be in God's presence and to stand in awe of Him. To let the smoke be smoke. To get rid of the smoke. Let this wind of God's Spirit just blow that stuff away. Alright, so 2 Corinthians 3 verse 80 says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." And like I said, when I come into the presence of God, when I sit with Jesus and I look at Him with an unveiled face, in other words, I'm not covered by my sin or anything or tradition or whatever. I'm sitting with Him just as a mere human being who's in love with the King of Kings. I just sit with Him and I can just see His glory.
Amen.
Then I am being transformed. Fear, anxiety, and all these things fade away simply because God is there. And we struggle, and I'll venture to say that I think sometimes we struggle because we fail to do this. We get so busy with life, with vapor, with smoke, and then you die, and what have you achieved? And like Lorette said last week, and then you die and someone else spends the money you worked so hard for. Oh, heck no. I love my boys, but I'm going to spend some of it. I leave them something. Okay, but I'm going to have some fun. Greg, champ, just tell me how I must spend your money. Just joking. Oh, so by the way, so if you're struggling, I'm a professional money spender. Just tell me how I can do that for you. Okay? But we are transformed. When I see His splendor, His lovingness, His glory. Genesis tells us in Genesis 1 verse 26 that humans were created in His image after His likeness. If you read that, what does that even mean to you? To be created in His likeness. In His image. Sometimes I think we break ourselves so down and we're actually standing in competition with God because I'm breaking down who He has made. I'm made in His image. You are made in His likeness. You are special. You were crowned with glory and honor. And don't let the devil or your friends or your family or anybody tell you anything else. When they say that, you say, "Woo-eh-eh. I am crowned with glory. I was made in the likeness of God. I am special." So in other words, we are meant to look like God because we are made in His image. Psalm 8 verse 5. Meet me quickly in Psalm 8 verse 5. We were made in His image. We are supposed to reflect who He is. I am supposed to reflect who God is. Not who I am. Especially as a born again believer, I'm not supposed to reflect me. I become a reflection of the glory of God. Why? Because I'm in His presence. I'm there continually. So I cannot help but be full of the glory of God. And it's just displayed to this world.
We understand that the devil came to destroy that through sin. That was the very reason why he walked into the garden, was to destroy actually the fact that God created them in his image, that they were naked and unashamed. They were dwelling on this earth like it should be. And he came to ruin it. But we understand that Christ came to undo all that, right? So even as we sit here today, we actually have no excuse. We can display the glory of God. Psalm 8 verse 5, which we've read, says, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Listen, just go think of that scripture tonight. Just go ponder on it and maybe understand better who you are. And how the glory of God, again, we say, we think it just happens in church. We are the carriers of God's glory. This is how the world knows that there is God, is because you're alive. It's one of the reasons why the devil hates you so much. Because every time he looks at you, he knows that you were created in his image. And man, if you are born again, you've been reconciled with God. You are with God. So you're displaying God. So don't be surprised if he hates you. That's a good thing. But you have the authority now. So you can kick some devil bohookie. I'm at least, someone believes it, I think. So, just think of this. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. It continually displays his wonder works, his love through us. There's this continual theme that God is working out. Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is God. We carry the glory of our Father. We are reflecting his goodness, his purpose, his love to this world. Scripture even says, by this the world will know. This is how the world's going to know that I love them, is the way that we love one another. We display the glory of God even in the city. That's why we have church. It's not some religious idea. It's the gathering of God's people. And Paul says to them, why do you neglect this thing? You know, once a month, is that really good enough? Okay, twice, why, is that really good enough? Where the very people that you need to help you are sitting right next to you. Okay, some of them are not here today. But that's why we gather. So why is kavod weighty? Why is glory weighty? I believe it's because that glory that we're speaking about is a person. It is God. And the moment I encounter him, everything changes. He is not smoke. Yes, he's spirit, and we don't see him, but he is weighty. And I saw the weightiness of God on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. I can even see the weightiness of God this morning as the Holy Spirit touches your lives. As he convicts you, as he speaks to you, it's weighty because God is in the house. Not because of anything that I have done. I want to close with this scripture. And again, it's the Amplified. But when I read it this morning, before I read that, I just want to, and this is not on the PowerPoint, but if you want to go quickly to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 starts off like this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens,
God has pitched a tent for the sun. So the next time that sun comes up, and then you can go read the rest of the psalm, because then he starts speaking about the sun, how it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chambers, and every time I see the sun, I can know that the glory of God is here. When every time I see the moon rise, I can know. But Ephesians 3:16-21, let's read that quickly. And if you on your phone have the amplifier there, you can go there quickly. Verse 16 says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself dwelling in your innermost being and personality. Oh, you can just meditate just on that scripture. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love that is in the breadth and the length and the height and the depths of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ. Oh man, there's some practical experience there, which far surpasses mere knowledge, which is knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure, listen to this, the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Oh, come on. Now may him who by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far above all that we dare to ask or think, indefinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Such a powerful portion of scripture, just communicating to us so beautifully the glory and the power and the presence of God. How when we are filled with the Spirit, we carry that. So I don't know what your life has been like in the last while. Maybe you have backed off, feeling, you know, certain things have happened or whatever's going on in your life or circumstances, and you backed off. I want to say to you, you are carrying God's glory. Rise up. And maybe as a prophetic act, let's stand. If this is you, let's stand.